welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with an energetic Tom Rackers. And before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Let's look back at last week's, you know, you wrapped up the CMAC season with a pretty nice win against Smith Cotton, didn't you?
I thought we did, Tom. Didn't punt the football again. I thought defense played great, held them to 100 yards. Offense scored every drive they had in the first half. Pretty dominating performance from start to finish, I thought.
Now you kind of get out of conference for week 9. You know, you wrap up the regular season tonight at home against Live for Life.
You know, Live for Life, obviously a new opponent for us. We've played them in basketball a couple years, and so some of our coaches are familiar with, you know, their athleticism and their great basketball program. And you definitely, when you put on the tape, you see the athleticism and the speed. And we've been telling the boys, and, you know, obviously they saw during our scout report on Monday that this is the fastest, most athletic team we've played since Cardinal Ritter last year. They have elite team speed. We're going to have to be in the right spots. We're going to have to tackle well, because simple plays can turn into big plays when you have that much, you know, big-time speed, and they really are fast.
Yeah, and it's kind of like probably playing an option game. You have to, you know, worry about yourself being in the right place, make sure you're in the right place, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they got a lot of team speed on defense. Teams, again, especially at the receiver position, their quarterback has got a really strong arm. And, you know, they had several touchdowns this year where he just kind of flips it out there 50, 60 yards, and their receivers run underneath it. You know, outside of two drives where they took it down inside the 10 and stalled out against Cardinal Ritter, they could have easily been 14-14 with Cardinal Ritter at halftime. Yeah. You know, just a couple miscues in the red zone. And so they were with them step for step. I know in the second half it got away from them a little bit, but they're a very, very talented team.
Now you're in week 9. Are you, you know, you've got a bye next week because you're going to be the district champion. Are you worried about focus? Are people, the guys ready to take 2 weeks off? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. We've had a really good week of practice. I don't see that being a problem. I think that, you know, the bye week is going to be good for us to heal up some of the injuries that have been nagging. And we still have some players that aren't playing at 100%. I think, you know, we've always handled the bye week really well. I'm not worried about it. I think it's kind of a blessing after this long grind that we've had. But you know, we're focused and we're ready to play.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. Tom, a 51-8 win against Smith Cotton last week. I think I kind of expected the win. I expected the margin. How did that go for the Crusaders?
Very well. You know, they played really good start to finish. The starting offense scored every time they had the ball, and they basically didn't play the second half.
Okay.
Defense, you know, us gave up a touchdown in the fourth quarter. The second and third teamers out there,
okay,
and two-point conversion. It happens.
Right.
You know, those kids got to play too.
Yeah.
And you know, special teams good. You know, Nick Calvaruso, now the all-time field goals leader at Helias, beating his brother, Vito. Sorry, Vito. But, it was good. It was a really good effort start to finish, kind of what you wanted to see for your last conference game.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that strikes me again is just another good, you know, performance by the defense from the standpoint of, you go, you know, really this whole season, I haven't given up 30 in any game yet this year. And, you know, after two straight shutouts, that was another 8-point game, you know, and there was another 8-point game a couple weeks ago, followed by, you know, with a 6-point game in there. So, I mean, they're holding a lot of teams to single digits this year. And I think obviously anytime you can do that increases your chances of winning exponentially.
Yeah, I went back a little for the last 10, 12 years, and I could not find a time where they shut out three teams in a row.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were within, you know, 2 minutes of doing that. So,
right.
So that's obviously really good. Now, they've had 4 shutouts in a season, but that was, I can't remember the year right now, but it was in the past decade. That defense is just going to carry them, you know, because there's going to be nice, you know, the offense isn't going to be there. And so the defense is going to have to, you know, you're just going to need them to stand up and do their job.
Right. So I guess just to put a wrap on like C-Mac play, ends up 6-1 in C-Mac, 7-1 overall at this point. You know, obviously they didn't get the C-Mac title, which they wanted, but I think there's a lot of things in that C-Mac season that you can look at and go, okay, you know, these were very positive things that happened.
Yeah, I, but you're going to ask them, the first thing you're going to think of is, you know, couldn't get Rockbridge off the field
right
in the third and fourth quarter.
Sure.
That was the one thing that I think that will disappoint them for a while. Right. Now, I think winning a district title and making it into the state bracket will take a little bit of that sting away if they get that to happen.
But, yeah.
You know, it was a good conference season. I think that they are probably, you know, the second best team in the conference. Again, you look back, in 5 years they've lost 2 games.
Right.
So, I mean, I think they're 29. That's added. I think they're 29-2.
Okay.
So, pretty good in conference.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you play who's in the conference. It's great that they're getting to play all the local teams, and it's a lot of fun. Building rivalries. Conference really, I think, is good for Helias. They just need the conference. We've talked about this before. Needs somebody else to step up to be that third and fourth team behind Rockbridge and Helias to kind of make it a little more difficult for
absolutely
the top two.
Yeah. So they'll step out of conference play and they'll kind of play one, you know, non-conference game to end the regular season before getting refocused on districts in a week. So, you know, 7 o'clock game tonight against the Live for Life Hawks. I guess the first thing that people are probably going to ask you out there is, where is Live for Life?
Hawk's a bird. Live for Life is out of St. Louis. It's
right.
A charter academy school.
Okay.
Generally, they have decent athletics. I mean, they've been getting votes in the poll this year in their class, and I'm not going to lie, I've been one of the people voting for them. I think that they've kind of got some talent on that team.
We're saying that they're a Class 3 team.
And, Class 3. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you look at it, what are you looking to get out of Week 9? And this is kind of a little bit of my preview that's in today's paper. Are you looking for an easy win to kind of cruise into districts all kinds of excited and ready to go? Or are you trying to schedule somebody? You never want to schedule, you know, the Chiefs. But
right.
You want to schedule somebody that's going to push you.
Sure, sure.
You know, maybe make you do things that maybe you haven't seen in the first 8 weeks a whole lot.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening tonight. You know, Live for Life's going to come in. They are going to, you know, Chris says that overall team speed is the best they've seen since Cardinal Ritter last year.
Okay.
You know, Rockbridge has a handful of those guys. They've got more than a handful of those
okay.
guys. And so that's going to be something that likely they're going to need to work on, maybe not in districts, because looking at the district teams, they've already seen most of them. But once you get into that 8-4, then you're going to have some, you know, pretty speedy tests.
As someone who's always liked to kind of pour over schedules and results and try to figure out who teams are and how good they are from those things, I think Live for Life's a little bit vexing from that standpoint. You look at it overall, they're 4-4. Okay, you go, okay, well, that doesn't tell us much because, you know, even Steven. And then you kind of look at some of these results and go, okay, you know, I don't know kind of what to make of them. There's some big lopsided scores in their favor, and there's some big lopsided losses against them. And so you just look at it and kind of go, you know, we can kind of just give you the people that are on there, but like, you know, big wins against, like, you know, Duchenne and Normandy by huge margins, which you go, that might be expected, you know, a fairly decisive victory against Roosevelt. Then you know, have some losses in there where you go, you know, big loss to Ritter, which you go, that's probably expected, and then a kind of a closer loss to Cape Central. So you go, I guess one of my point is to you, or my question for you is, what do we make of all of it, and how, you know, what does it tell us about this team?
Well, one thing about the schedule is they don't have a home field.
Okay.
So I think that they played seven true road games, and then one kind of like, we'll call it in a showcase or a shootout at a, you know, obviously a, you know, a, so they haven't, you know, they don't play at home.
Okay.
Which is kind of, you know, you figure that's got to be tough on them.
Sure.
So I think sometimes getting that schedule is as good as, you know, they're trying to get as many area games as they can.
Right, right.
And so, but you look at Cardinal Ritter. That was, talking to Chris, he went back and watched it. He said, you know, they made a couple mistakes inside the 10 in the first half, or it could have been gone into halftime, perhaps even tied at 14-14.
Okay.
Now, Ritter blew them out in the second half, which is going to happen, but he said, you got to see how good they can be against a really good quality football team.
Sure, sure.
And so that, you know, that kind of gets everybody's attention.
Right.
You know, that's one thing I asked Chris. I said, you know, getting week 9, you've already, you know, conference is over. You basically wrapped up the number one seed in districts. What are you playing for? And, you know, they're playing for it. You know, so the kids are focused. It's been a good week of practice. They're trying to learn because they know these quick quarterbacks, running backs, receivers are going to be a handful for somebody down the road.
And I think that's one thing that Elias has been great at over the years, where you look at it and go, I think there's a lot of times where you go come in and go, well, they don't have the edge in athletes, so they're going to have to be great, you know, scheme-wise and also fundamental-wise. And they all seem like they've always been able to do that. But this is a good game also to kind of reinforce that, to go, this is why we're talking about this, because if we can do this and we can limit them, then we can maybe do that against anybody that pops up on the schedule as we go along who might have a quote-unquote, I don't know, athletic advantage or a quickness advantage, whatever. If you still do things right, football is a sport where you can overcome disadvantages like that, you know, by doing things properly.
Yeah, I compared it to Chris, and he sort of, you know, patted me on the head and said, good thinking, Tom. He said, you know, I compared it to, you know, defense, like playing against an option team. You have to do your role and count on your other 10 teammates to do their roles, right, and you'll get it stopped. And he said, that's kind of, yeah, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
You just need to make sure, if you have a chance, you can't let them make a simple play turn into a big play.
Right.
Like, you have a chance to tackle them one-on-one, you've got to do it. And he said, that's the key tonight, defensively.
Yeah. So, obviously, the defense is going to be tested, and that'll be a good, I think it'll be another good test for them, another good way for them to show their wares. Is there something then defensively that maybe causes concern for Elias against Live for Life? Is there anybody out there who's maybe a difference maker on that side of the ball?
Quarterback, and again, don't know names because sometimes it's tough to get names off of rosters from some of these schools. But he says quarterback's really talented. Said he can just sit back there and flick it 50 or 60 yards and guy from under it and catch it.
Okay.
So, you know, you can expect to try to see some big plays tonight. They don't run, you know, they pass it more than they run it, just okay, by a little bit. And, you know, I think it'll be an interesting test for the last secondary, which is, you know, really in the CMAC, you're looking at passing games. You know, you got Rockbridge and you got Camdenton, and I don't know what you have much after that. You
right.
know, Smith Cotton is fine, but you know, you're going to get a test tonight against a team that likes to throw the football.
Yeah. How about the Live for Life defense? Do they have anybody that Elias has to be concerned about or be like, okay, we need to make sure to where this guy's at on all plays to block him so we can have success? Or is it just more of it's kind of a team effort?
It's more of a team thing. You know, Chris, you know, obviously, you know, the run game will be kind of important tonight for Elias because if you're going, you know, that speed on offense comes over to defense. So it's going to be tough to get behind those guys if you're going to try to throw deep.
Right.
So the run game could be really important tonight, just dominating the line of scrimmage. You know, our very good friend Chunk Gaines,
right,
you know, get 5-6 yards sure, carry, and then you just get the ball down the field on him.
Yeah. You're always looking to be healthy at this time of year. So how's the injuries situation for the Crusaders?
Well, the one, Alex Marbury, he will play tonight.
Okay.
He's not quite 100%, but it is senior night, and he will get some limited action. You know, I asked Chris, you know, did you think, you know, he's missed the last 2 weeks. Hey, you give him this week off, then there's bye week for the districts next week.
Right.
That's 4 weeks off. And, you know, chance to get, he said, but it's senior night. He wants to let him play a little bit and just kind of, you know, because Alex is just chomping to get back in there.
Well, and you also wonder about something like that where you go, okay, if he doesn't play this week and then he's got next week off, then yes, 4 weeks of rest, but also 4 weeks of rust.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Right.
You know, he has been at practice, doing a little stuff in practice.
So sure.
He'll be fine. And other than that, I think everybody's fine. A little bit of illness, I think, going through the team. Maybe you kind of heard that a little bit in Chris's voice. Other than that, I think they're healthy and probably ready to go.
All right. I guess I'll just ask you who comes out on top tonight.
I wish I'd have thought of that before I came in here. I think Elias really, the run game will be the key. You know, if they can establish between the tackles, getting big yardage, which I think that's going to happen, I think the game could be over by halftime. I'm going to say Elias 42-12.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter @TJRackers. Thanks for listening.